All right, Parker, I know we've got like this plastic shower curtain between us for social distancing, but let me show that to you. You know what that is, hey? That's my scorebook, right? Like, that's the way I score games.
Yeah.
What do you notice about last night's game? When did I stop scoring? When do you think I stopped scoring?
Third inning.
I stopped scoring when Derek Fisher dropped the freaking ball is when I stopped scoring. His new nickname is Netflix because he makes me turn off the freaking baseball game and go to Netflix. Look, I think that Charlie Montoyo's a smart man, right? I mean, you don't get to be where you are as a manager, right, without being a smart man. Charlie Montoyo's a smart man.
I would assume.
He knows his baseball. He knows his baseball. He's been around a long time. Do you think Charlie Montoyo sat in his office yesterday and said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a guy who can't catch a ball in right field. I'm going to put a guy whose first play with the Blue Jays was taking a ball off the head, off the face. 2 weeks left. We're in a pennant race. You know what it's crying out for? Derek freaking Fisher. Mr. Five freaking Tool. So you got to tell me why Derek Fisher is starting. And don't give me he hit a home run off the kid. I mean, we're not talking about a small sample size. Why he hit a home run off the kid.
That's exactly
blind
what.
Squirrel found a nut. But I want a blind squirrel that can catch a damn nut when it falls out of the tree, too, right? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's true. A blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. And that was what Derek Fisher hitting Taiwan. That was not Taiwan Walker. Davey Garcia. It was a blind squirrel. He closed his eyes. He swung, hit, but he can't catch the nut. Honest to God. This is where we need to have reporters around the team. Because I need to know whose idea it is to have Derek Fisher start a baseball game. I don't believe for a second it's Charlie Montoyo. I cannot believe it's Charlie Montoyo. That was embarrassing last night. That was embarrassing. All you have to do is catch the ball. That's all you have to do is catch the ball. And part of me hesitates to blame Derek Fisher because it's the old story. Don't put guys in position to fail. But I got to tell you this. Not being able to catch the ball. There is no position in baseball you can put a guy if he can't catch the ball, I guess, other than pinch runner.
DH.
No.
You don't have to catch DH.
So explain to me what happened last night. First of all, we'll be joined by Shai Davidi. Maybe he can give us some insight on the lineup wizardry that resulted in. I'd like to know which computer program farted out the idea of Derek Fisher in right field at Yankee Stadium. I'd like to know which computer program just put Derek Fisher in right field. So
I don't know.
Tell me what happened in those plays last night. I got to go get my book.
That he missed the ball. I don't think there's really an answer for it. You basically summed it up. You know,
Parker, if Derek Fisher is playing, how come you're not playing?
That's a great question.
Damn, I wrecked my scorebook.
You did.
Anyhow,
you got a little fired up there at the gate.
Well, come on. I mean, Jesus, I don't ask for much. I really don't. This is fun. It's great. You know, baseball's being played. It's meaningful baseball in September. The Jays are making acquisitions. Mm-hmm. And then they're running out a guy. I mean, the sad thing is not one Blue Jays fan was surprised. You could not have watched Derek Fisher in a game, watch that last night and go, bro, don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
The ball finds you.
It does.
And again, I'm getting back to this. Yeah, I'm sure that there is some great analytics.
I bet it's not. I bet you're way overthinking it.
Someplace it says that when he makes contact with the ball, it goes a gazillion miles an hour. But God Almighty.
Well, everything has to do with he hit a home run off him the last time they faced him.
Well, that's exactly stupid.
What?
That's dumb. I mean, this is the thing. Every time we say something in baseball, it goes, small sample size. Don't read too much into small sample size. Never read too much into small sample size. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Don't ever read anything into a small sample size.
Yeah.
If he's that good, hit him in the cleanup spot. If you're going to start him against this dude, hit him in the cleanup spot.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I got to know, because I do not believe for a second, and I understand this team, it's all a collaborative effort. I get that. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I understand. That's the way baseball's going now. There's no such thing as a manager managing by his gut anymore. I get it. I'm fine with that. But if I'm Charlie Montoyo, I'm about ready to throw somebody under the bus. Because at some point, he has to answer for that guy in right field at Yankee Stadium. And I don't believe for a second it's Charlie Montoyo. I refuse to believe Charlie Montoyo decided Derek Fisher was a perfect match last night. I just don't.
Well, I do think they try to invent ways to get him in the lineup. I do think they like the way he swings the bat. I think they like when he hits the ball really, really hard. It's rare that he hits it. And then you see him play defense the way he played last night, and your pitcher standing on the mound is throwing. You know, he didn't.
I would have made him pitch in that game.
Taiwan Walker's a big league. He's a big league pitcher. He is a guy that's going to take up for his teammates, and that's exactly what he did. And the Zoom call he had, he said it happens.
Yeah, but it doesn't. No, you know what?
Players,
no, with all due respect, no.
Players
no,
don't
no,
catch balls.
That's bull. It does not happen.
I'm just telling you what he said.
It does not happen. The only – Corey Patterson, when he was here at the end of his career, was afraid of the wall, because Corey Patterson had an almost career-ending injury. And Corey Patterson admitted it, and that's why he got out of the game. If a guy is afraid of the wall because he's had a near career-ending injury, I'll be the first guy to say, hey, I understand it. I get it. And maybe at some point, I don't know, Derek Fisher was standing outside looking up into the sky and a piece of plane fell on top of him or something. And so he's got a reason to be scared of falling outside the sky. Dude, it is a fly ball. And that second play is makeable as well.
Yeah, you should make that 100% of the time. I think you're way overthinking this. I'm not going to happen again. Yeah,
you want to bet? I swear to God.
I'll bet you dinner.
Derek Fisher, first of all, I don't think they'll DFA him.
There's 13 games left. I bet he doesn't play the next 13 games. Unless they clinch a playoff spot five games of the season, and he might play right field, left field somewhere.
We will see Derek Fisher because C3PO, whatever the hell the name of the computer is, farted out Derek Fisher in right field. We may even see Derek Fisher tonight.
Not a chance.
Would you be surprised?
Would
you be surprised if you would be surprised?
Big time.
I don't know now.
Biggio in right field tonight.
Don't know now. Maybe Derek Fisher needs a night. Derek Fisher needs a day off today. Maybe the computer will say he needs a day off today.
VR be playing.
He failed his grip test or something like that. Failed to catch the ball. It's right in your freaking face test.
You're really fired up over Derek Fisher.
But it is not necessary. It is not necessary. And you know what? There are, as much as it's a team game, and I don't believe in the theory of the predestined hit, right? Where if there's a man in first and I come up and, you know, somebody makes an error and there's a man in first, I come up, hit a two-run home run while the error was because of it. No, I mean, there's no guarantee that what happens next happens as a result of something that happened before. So I don't necessarily buy into the theory of the predestined hit or any of that. But I'll tell you what. The Jays lost the game last night because their dumbass right fielder misplayed two balls. That's why they lost the game. Got nothing to do with Taiwan Walker. Got nothing to do with the rest of the team. They lost that game because Derek Fisher dug a grave and, you know, tossed that game in it, covered it up, and stepped on it. That's why they lost
that game. Yeah, he didn't help. That's for sure. You know, there's some positives that came out of that game, and there's some negatives. You know, Taiwan Walker wasn't real good either. I mean, he was throwing a lot of breaking balls, which is very odd. You know, the last time he threw it looked like he was favoring a little bit of his shoulder. Last night he wasn't throwing a lot of fastballs. You know, he wasn't letting it eat. Why was he not doing that? Why was he throwing more breaking balls? Think his fourth pitch. Why are you trying to invent
ways now
to get people out?
Maybe he wasn't throwing fastballs because he was terrified that the balls would end up in right freaking field.
Yeah, probably not. But, you know, maybe he's trying to keep balls from going to right field. You know, breaking ball, you get out in front a little bit, you pull those balls, it's that kind of thing. Maybe you're pitching to the park, whatever it is. Look, you know, the Yankees, when they're healthy, are a really good team, and they're starting to get really healthy. Wow. So, Yeah, Derek Fisher had a lot to do with why they lost last night. Now you move on. What are you going to do about it? 99.9%
well, okay, now why what they are you lost do about last it? Night.
Now you got Garrett Cole tonight. What are you going to do about that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure, the computer would love that matchup. Oh, Derek. There we go. Derek Fisher in right field.
So you're saying that he's going to play every game from the rest, of the year.
I can't believe there was an argument. There were people on Twitter about, DFA him, and, if you DFA him, some team's going to pick. Why would anybody waste this amount of Twitter space worrying about Derek Fisher? Like, I don't care if they DFA him. I don't care. Don't put him out in the field again. Don't put him out in the field again. Like, what would it say to you if you're Robbie Ray and you go and you look at the lineup card?
Yeah, to sell it to the rest of your teammates. It'd be tough. That's a tough sale. Put a guy like that, it's not really doing anything to help your team, and you could probably get somebody else to do a little bit better job than what he's doing. Yeah, you could argue that.
Sometimes I just want a guy. It's like I want a closet or something. I can just put a guy and forget about him. Like, I don't want Charlie Montoya to look down the dugout and see Derek Fisher.
You know, I don't want to state the obvious here, but the GM did come out and say he's 5-tool. Would you say that? You know, those are big words.
In Twitter asked me what tool is being afraid of the wall.
You could
is
count,
that the second tool or the third tool?
If that's the case, you could count 5-tool players on one hand in the big leagues. And if he's one of them, then you think really high of him as an organization. I'm saying, like, you know, we think what we want of him. You know, if I played like that when I was in the big leagues, I would not be in the big leagues the next day. It's real simple. It's that simple.
Think John Gibbons starts Derek Fisher in that game?
If John Gibbons wanted to be the manager, he would.
Yeah.
You know exactly. You know the answer to that before you even said it.
Yeah, it's true.
So why do you say it? It's 2020, Jeff. Like, it's, you know, in game situations, you know, they may
there
have
there wasn't
some
even anything on Netflix last night to watch, by the way.
No?
Because I've seen it all.
Well, you did text me a couple of LOLs.
I watched basketball instead.
Which was kind of funny.
Yeah. I watched basketball instead.
Yeah.
Watched a little bit of hockey.
Kawhi.
Yeah. I wonder how Uncle Dennis is doing this morning.
You think he's a Raptor next year?
Kawhi?
Yeah.
No. Not a chance in hell. I wouldn't have him.
Chef.
What was it that... I'm not going to say who said this, but it was a genius statement. Poor Kawhi Leonard had to go all the way to L.A. to get his ass kicked by a guy from Kitchener. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh.
Anyhow, let's talk about the baseball game.
Okay.
Enough about
what was some good stuff that happened? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit a fastball. That's a plus. He's still late, but yeah, he's...
It appears to me as if he went up and decided that since every first pitch was going to be a fastball, I should swing
at the
first
Garcia
pitch.
Throws a lot of fastballs because your lineup... has issues hitting that one pitch. So you may want to go up and be aggressive on it. Maybe he should try that tonight too, because Cole, you know, that fastball is about 97 miles an hour. He's going to get a bunch of those. So, that seems like a pretty good approach. Maybe you should carry that over to the next game. Maybe that'll work the next 13 games. They're going to need him. It's plain and simple. You know, it's me personally, I think right now they're a playoff team. You know, do the Orioles scare me? Nope. Does the Mariners scare me? Nope. Whoever the other team is, nope. You know, the Blue Jays, unless they just fall off the map the next 13 games.
Well, the good news is if they fall off the map, Derek Fisher will be right there to catch them.
So it's going to be this way the rest
of the season.
I thought of
the Seinfeld episode where Bill Buckner catches the baby being tossed out of the window. Okay, 10 babies get tossed out of the window. Out of 10, how many does Derek Fisher catch if he's standing underneath him? What do you think? Out of 10 babies being tossed out the window.
Half.
Half?
Yeah, half.
How many cleanly?
Two or three.
Okay. Because very seldom you can blame a loss on one person, so take advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
They didn't do a ton good. You know, it's Garcia's a pretty good pitcher. He's young. He's got life. He plays for the Yankees. He thinks he's really good. And then he's got stuff to boot. That's a tough draw for them. You know, he can locate a fastball and he can expand with a secondary pitch. A lineup who continues to struggle hitting a fastball, which is very surprising to me. You watch them consistently. They take them. Travis Shaw takes fastballs right down the middle. I don't get it. Are you looking breaking ball? I don't understand. It's a little confusing. You know, the book's out now. If we know, Jeff, that they're going to get fastballs. How does it look like that they don't know?
I don't know. Maybe there's a computer program someplace saying, you never know. C-3PO or what is the hell? What the hell was the name of the thing in Star Wars? Was C-3PO? Yeah, R2-D2. And it's C-3PO.
You know who looks good, though?
Are they even computers? Or are they just robots?
Let's talk
Cal
about...
Cal was the name of the let's computer talk about in something 2001. Good.
You've had your fun. Are you done? You finished?
Yeah.
We talked about Derek Fisher for 16 minutes. Bo Bichette looks better.
Yes, he does.
What's getting down on time now?
Mm-hmm. That's
going to be huge. Gurriel Jr., listen, that's... You know, when it's short and quick like it is, it's fluid.
Has anything changed with his swing, or is this just like the example of what happens when it kind of comes together for a guy who's talented anyhow?
He's very talented. That helps a lot.
Is,
he has
right?
bass speed. He has hand-eye coordination. He's fluid, the lower half. There's not a lot of pause in it. You know, everything has to be, when I start it, I'm not going to stop it. It's going to go. It's fluid. I get it down. I go.
You know what I realized watching him last night? And this kind of gets... You know, you asked the question the other day about who in this team can handle a fastball. Name the hitters who can handle a fastball.
Gurriel's, you know, he's getting there. He's not quite there yet, but he's
I realized
there.
Last night watching him play that I'm almost at the point now that when he comes up to the plate, I expect an extra base hit.
I expect him to do something. He hits hard a lot.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, I'm almost at the point now where he comes up. And I don't feel that way about Vladdy.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about Grichuk. I kind of feel that way about Bichette. I did Teoscar was hitting everything.
Yeah.
But Gurriel Jr. comes up to the plate right now, and I'm thinking there's a real good chance he's going to get an extra base hit.
Yeah, I'm jealous, too. I would love to be able to do that when I was a player, hit everything. Swing at everything because I think I can hit everything. And if he's short and quick, he can hit it. He can get barrel to baseball. That's a talent. You know, you're born with that. Hand-eye coordination, seeing out of the hand. He's such a big, lanky, has body parts. Like, his arms are very, very long. They have to be short and quick, which means his lower half has to have, you know, it has to have some rhythm. It has to have some consistency to it, where when he starts it, he doesn't stop it. And then when he gets the front foot down, then the hands will go where they're supposed to go because they have to. When you swing at that many pitch, he swings everything, Jeff. Like, it's, I'm swinging. I'm on the on-deck circle. I'm swinging. I'm going to keep swinging until you get me out. That's what I said. When the playoffs start, you put your best hitters up front. He's got to be one of them. You know, right. Top three guys, he's Randall, you know, Randall Grichuk's, you know, he's a little spotty sometimes with his approach and when him hitting the ball. You know, he hasn't hit a home run 16 games. That's, you know, hopefully down the stretch here he can find that stroke again. That'll help him down the stretch. You know, they get Teoscar Hernandez, who sounds like he's going to be back real soon. That'll be huge for him.
You realize, by the way, that...
And that'll probably kick your boy out. You won't have to see him again.
No. Derek Fisher, you know, I mean, a lot will depend on what the high performance department says. You know, a lot will depend now. You know, you don't want to overplay a guy. So you may want... You probably got to play Teoscar one game, then let him DH, then give him 2 days off. And I don't know.
You're a little down on this computer thing today.
No, I'm having fun with it. I'm having no. It's all crap.
Oh,
it's all crap and giggles.
Right.
Yeah. I'm having fun with it. Come on, you got to have a little bit of fun every now and then. You accuse me of not having enough fun. Now I'm having fun. You know,
I'm not
just
sure what you've done for the first 19 minutes is fun. Like, you yelled at me. You threw a book near me. How's that fun? Like, I. You know, you were yelling so much, I didn't really have anything to say. I was
C-3PO and R2-D2 were droids, by the way, according to Travis McKenzie.
He would know that.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he was watching on Netflix last night.
I tried. I mean, I swear to God, I didn't realize. This pandemic better get over soon. There's nothing new on Netflix to watch.
No.
There's not a damn thing new on Netflix to watch.
I mean,
like, I cannot watch... I mean, I can't watch Homeland for the 535th time. I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't. There's nothing left to watch. There's nothing new.
Huh.
So, anyhow, Derek Fisher. I almost think Derek Fisher's part of some sort of government-inspired reading program.
Right.
Because I swear to God, a lot of people watching that game last night turned it off and went and picked up a book.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyhow. We're going to take a break, and Shai Davidi's going to join us, and he's going to straighten us all out.
Yeah.
He's going to tell me.
He's going to say, I saw the lineup, and Derek Fisher's in it.
Paul,
no, Shai's going to tell us what happened. Shai's going to come on and tell us that
Please, Shai, say it, even if it's not true, say it.
Computer program suggested that Derek Fisher's one of his five tools would be perfect for Yankee Stadium on September 15th in a meaningful game. He's going to tell us that. Shai Davidi joins us next. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right. Welcome back to Baseball Central. 590-590 is the text line. Lots of calls from people who want Barker to come out of retirement and play in right field.
I did that once in Yankee Stadium.
Scott, your boy,
John Gibbons, put me in right field the last game of the season.
My boy, John Gibbons.
Well, the best manager that's ever lived. Truly.
Scott in North Vancouver says, put Alejandro Kirk in right field. Well, why not?
Boy, I hope Shai tells us he's playing tonight.
Let's bring in Shai Davidi. Sportsnet. So, Shai, Barker says that's the last we're going to see of Derek Fisher.
No, I said until they clinch a playoff spot. The last five games of the season, then who cares?
I think that there's a very good chance that he's back in the lineup tonight and hits a home run off Garrett Cole.
Man. Somebody searching for narrative.
No, I think, if you started him in the first game, you got another hard-throwing righty, right? Cole, right or left? I'm so upset, I don't even know. Why not start him again? He's clearly your best option, no?
I'm reluctant to pile on the guy. Like, he made two mistakes.
Shai, he couldn't.
Ended up being really badly.
He didn't catch a baseball. It's like driving your car with the door open. He didn't catch a baseball.
I agree. Look, and, you know, I'm sure that nobody feels worse about it than he does. I think the thing is, like, if we're really going to move the conversation forward, instead of sort of kicking the guy when he's down,
I think the
conversation needs to be, like, what are you doing? Like, they've got a roster move coming. Assuming Teoscar Hernandez's live batting practice goes well today, and he's ready for activation in the next day or two or three. Are you keeping Derek Fisher because he's out of options and because you believe? Or are you saying, you know what, right now we need Jonathan Davis's speed and defense off the bench, and that's helping me on my roster more.
Jonathan Davis has options. You're going to send him down.
You know what?
And he doesn't have pictures, apparently.
Look, I think that, again, let's go kind of, let's really think about it the way a kind of a front office.
I love what Shai's trying to bring logic into this show.
He's trying hard.
Go ahead, Shai. It's okay.
No, but like if Derek Fisher isn't going to survive the winter on your 40-man roster, right?
Yeah.
Which he probably isn't. Then how are you carrying him right now when you have games that matter?
Well, you started him in right field last night. So clearly, C3PO or R2D2 or the computer says that there's a usable tool there that is vital to this team going to the postseason.
Right. And at a certain point, you know, you have to say the computer may have this wonderful formula, but we are out of runway for that player. And Jonathan Davis's defense and speed right now adds more to our club than the upside that we are trying to unlock in Derek Fisher. And I think that's the conversation that the Blue Jays are going to be having this week.
Do you want to?
Like, can we continue to carry him? Do we have a chance to get through the winter and then hope that it clicks for him next spring and there's room for him on the roster by then? Or if not, then, you know, what are we doing? You know, we need to have guys on our bench who are going to help us in some way, shape, or form. And right now, Derek Fisher isn't in the position to do that.
I will bet you right now that Derek Fisher is not only survives the Teoscar Hernandez move, but that he's on the postseason roster.
I'd take that bet. I just don't see how he's on your postseason roster.
Mm-hmm. Okay, change the subject. We got two sides working here in opposite directions. It's Tanner Roark tonight. What would you think he would have to do to give them five quality innings? not get greedy and say six, but five quality innings. What do you think he has to do?
I mean, let's get greedy and just let's get for six. I mean,
come on now. Yeah, that's going to be tough.
I know that. Look, I know it's crazy talk, but you know, you could let the guy go 110 pitches and see what happens, right?
You could,
and it's
sure.
basically been his career. Look, I think the Blue Jays, in the incredible as it is to say, coming after an off day and with a 10-man bullpen, they need some innings out of their starter.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you got to let Tanner Roark run with it. I mean, like, you signed him to eat innings. And, you know, as much as these games are important, you know, the Blue Jays would have to fall off a cliff to not make the playoffs. At some point, you have to think about these things a little bit strategically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe let Tanner Roark go a little bit tonight, even if he isn't having the greatest outing in the world. You know, it's a tough matchup. I think that, you know, if it's a close game and, you know, you're in an iffy situation, then you're probably going to your bullpen at that point. But if it's a little bit more settled one way or the other, then I think you let it ride with him. And, you know, he certainly hasn't been the pitcher that he can be consistently this season. We've seen it in a couple of outings, but not on a steady basis. And, you know, you got to give the guy a little bit of runway to try and figure it out. You know, speaking of guys who deserve some runway, I mean, you gave him $24 million over two years, you know, to eat innings for you. You got to give him a chance to eat those innings.
Shai, you think offseason they'd make a run at Robbie Ray?
I think Ray's interesting. Walker's interesting. You know, I think that there are possibilities, but I also think that, I guess, to go bigger picture again, like, what's your vision of the future of pitching, right? Like, you know, is this sort of hybrid starter bullpen model that you've used to great success this year? I mean, is this what you see as the future of pitching, or is this just a short season aberration that you think you can pull off because it's only 60 games instead of 162? To me, that's the first question. And at that point, then you have to say to yourself, okay, well, if we need real innings, we need stable innings in our rotation, then I'm not sure that you can have a couple sort of roll the dice guys in both Ray and Taiwan Walker, right? You've got Ryu, who's a fixture and who's money in the bank every 5 days. And I think you need another guy like that. So, you know, maybe you take a run at a high salary 1 year deal for Trevor Bauer or something like that, and you can put some real impact into your rotation. But then you also have to think, well, you know, how are we addressing the rest of our roster? Because look, this has been fun. The Blue Jays have been full value for what they've earned to this point and a postseason berth under the circumstances. But the world's going to be different in 2021, and they're not going to be able to get to the postseason again structured as they are. So, you know, you're going to have to add some depth to your rotation. You're going to have to add some impact defensively and offensively to your lineup. And so you have to start thinking about, you know, what do I do there? So, you know, do you take a run at George Springer in center field, you know, Trevor Bauer for your rotation, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a much deeper team and, you know, better situated to survive 162. You know, I think that's the calculation that you're making at that point.
Shai, do you think they, meaning Pete Walker, feels confident in Ken Giles? You know, we've seen 94, 95s. How's he going to gain 3 or 4 miles an hour? To me, 94, 95 with a slider is not going to work. Back end of a bullpen. No. For some reason or the other, his 94 doesn't play, but his 97, 98 does play. You think we're going to see the extra 3 miles an hour in the next 3 or 4 outings from him?
Well, I think that what you want to see is you want to see some gains, right? That the arm strength is building as opposed to sort of leveling off. And, you know, if 94 with adrenaline is, you know, the best that he can do, then I'm not sure that he's getting all the way to the back of games anymore, right? That, you know, you need Dolis or Bass or, you know, this probably doesn't get a time at this point, but, you know, Jordan Romano or something like that. You need that impact velocity in the ninth inning. So I think for right now, everybody's just taking a very much a wait and see approach to see if some of that arm strength does return that allows him to get back to the velocity that you're right, that he does need to succeed at.
Hey, by the way, the Jays, Shai, have just released their lineup for tonight. Derek Fisher's batting cleanup in right field.
Yeah.
Shai thinks
come
you're
on,
nuts.
I'm just anyhow. Shai, thanks for doing this, man.
Thanks, Shai.
You got it, guys.
You're
Take
the best.
Care, boys.
Alrighty. Shai Davidi, our
he didn't
MLB
want
insider.
Any part of you.
He wants no part of that. He wants no part of the Derek Fisher discussion. The Rays and Nationals are playing right now, by the way. It's 1-0 for the Rays.
That's what the Rays are like watching them play.
Yeah. 1-0 for the Rays. Kevin Cash gambling a bit, putting his best defensive outfield in out in a meaningful game. 590 is the text line.
Yeah.
We got a lot of texts.
What do you think they're texting about?
Well, now this is the thing. Look, Derek Fisher was acquired in a trade for Aaron Sanchez, Joe Biagini, and somebody else. I don't know, man. And yeah, people are saying the reason Fisher was playing yesterday in part was that management traded for him and are still desperately trying to prove they knew what they were doing. This is Tom and Vaughn, except an outfielder that can't catch a fly ball or hit for that matter isn't a major leaguer, and even a simple fan can see that. I'm going to disagree with that. And Tom and Vaughn, not that I'm agreeing with that. I don't think the fact that they got rid of a guy who wasn't pitching anymore in Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the name of the third guy was. I guess I really felt inclined I could look it up, but frankly, I don't. And Joe Biagini. It's not a trade that has changed the fortunes of either franchise. Let's put it that way. So what I will say is this, though. The thing, and Ross Atkins was very clear. Go back and read what he said. Go back and read what he said when the deal was acquired. This was a deal that was made because they like the velocity. When he makes contact with the ball generally goes real hard and real fast.
Yeah.
They were very clear about that.
Yeah, numbers say that.
Numbers do say
that's
that.
A fact.
So there is, if you want to know why he's on the team, that's why he's on the team, because there is an identifiable element to his game.
He can be on the team and not play, Jeff.
Bingo. Not now.
He can do that.
And here's kind of the messy little secret about baseball teams or teams in general. There has never been a baseball team that the front office and manager have been in complete agreement on. There's never. J.P. Ricciardi used to talk about, you know what? There's a lot of political stuff when, I'll tell you what. I wish we had Buck Martinez. Buck Martinez wanted Kevin Cash on his team. Buck Martinez thought Kevin Cash could be an everyday catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. But front office didn't go along with that.
Mm.
Especially at the bottom end of the roster, there's a lot of, okay, I'll give you your guy, you give me my guy. You know, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on. And the thing now, though, is you've got expanded rosters. You really don't need to use Derek Fisher other than to put him in second base in extra innings or something like that. You don't need to use him. But I'm just saying that there is very much a political aspect to this. And I can tell you, a manager we all know very well one time did not like a guy that he had in the team. So you know what he did? He played him 3 days in a row, showed the front office that the guy pretty much stunk and the guy was gone. Like managers will do that.
Mm.
Managers will. Okay. You give me this. You gave me this guy.
Well, that'd be a little harder to do it now.
Because it's only where, you know, don't forget we're only a month and a half into the season or whatever. I'm just saying that it's not a matter of the front office really likes this guy because they made a trade for him. But what it is a matter what is important about this deal is the same reason they got him a year ago. That reason, or 2 year, however long ago it was, that reason still exists.
I still think we're talking way too much about Derek Fisher. Look, he is a 28th guy on a 28
man
roster.
Clearly, he's 26. He's better than Jonathan Davis because Jonathan Davis didn't start. Like, you can't...
That's basically because, again, you know as well as I do, that's exactly why he started. It's because he hit a home run off a guy not too long ago. That's exactly why.
Blind squirrel following, finding him that anyhow.
Huh.
590 is the text line. We'll get back to it. Trust me. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I don't know. don't know. We may have discovered a little something here.
Yeah.
We may have discovered a little something. Not the missing tool. Not Derek Fisher's missing tool. But we've got cameras down at Yankee Stadium in the visitors' bullpen. And this is obviously where Ben and Mike do their show from. And it sure looked like Patrick Murphy was on the bullpen mound tossing a few minutes ago. Huh. So if Patrick Murphy has been called up from the alternate site, that would mean that somebody's probably going to go.
Ooh, everybody may get their wish.
No, it's not happening.
Not a chance.
Not a chance in hell. Vladdy Jr.'s got a better chance of being sent out to make room for this guy than Derek Fisher.
Yeah. Hmm.
Second game of the series goes tonight.
Yeah.
It gets a little easier.
Yeah, go get him.
Garrett Cole. Go get him. Lace it up, boys. Go get him.
Yeah.
Your reward for losing 20-6 is here comes Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier the next night. Masahiro Tanaka. No indication yet as to when Aaron Judge is expected back. There was some discussion that he may be back in time for the final game of this series, joining Giancarlo Stanton, Michael Kay actually sent this out on Twitter yesterday. What did Giancarlo Stanton do in that big inning? He struck out twice or something like that.
Yeah.
He didn't look very good. Okay, here we go. To the text line. Jays playoff bound? ?
We already said so.
Within the last 5 days, the Jays have been slapped around by the two New York teams, the Mets 18-1 and the Yankees 20-6. It's hard to believe in these Jays with their current starters getting pounded regularly. No, they're going to the playoffs. They may not win, but it's going to take 3 games of Derek Fisher for them to fall out of the playoffs, basically, the way the numbers are right now. But it would be, I will say this, it would be awfully good if they won one of 2 games against the Yankees. That would certainly help the cause.
It would help, yes.
Lots of folks wondering about Anthony Alford again, and can't believe it kept Derek Fisher over Anthony Alford. If folks, Anthony Alford had a shot, I'm sorry. There was a lot of that in Twitter last night too. Anthony Alford or Derek Fisher, I'm sorry. Neither one of them.
You're never going to know what Anthony is until you play him 2 months in a row.
Exactly. And that's not happening here.
Never going to do that here.
So that's kind of a moot point. I will say this, Anthony Alford had his chances here. He had his chances here. Even though he didn't get that 2 months in a row, he had an opportunity to make enough of a case with this team that he would have warranted a longer look. He had a lot of chances. He had more chances than a lot of people get.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't even want to talk about the Derek Fisher stuff I'm seeing here. I want something different. Somebody wants Jose Bautista back for the playoff run.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd come if you offered him some money. He can pitch too, I heard.
Okay, you asked Shai Davidi about Tanner Roark.
Yeah.
What do you do tonight if you're Charlie?
You got to leave him in. This is one of them nights. Who you're facing on the other side of that's pitching for the other team. This is one of those. Tanner wants you to throw 115 pitches, let him. If it's not 15-1, you keep running him out there.
Here's the thing. Okay.
Have a number in mind. If it's 115, let him throw 115. However many innings that gives you, let him go get him.
Here's the thing, though. He's come out publicly and said he didn't like the way he was used in the last game. He doesn't like that idea of not being allowed the third time through. If you're Charlie Montoyo, do you have to be careful you don't make it look like you're throwing him under the bus?
How do you do that?
If he
looks like he's pitching well, again, have a number in mind, and that's what you can say after the game. Right. Is he looked like he was pitching okay, well enough to go 100 and however many pitches, and that's what he did. I think he's got to pitch backwards. His fastballs, which is the sinker and the force, that get hammered.
Yeah.
Pitch backwards. If you got a spinner, throw it. Throw the spinner to set up the heater. don't throw as many haters. Like, they get look at the numbers. Hammered in the, like, 400s and the OPS is in the thousands. Like, you know, it's start spinning it early in counts. Throw changeups more. And then maybe you can go in with two strikes with a fastball. Something like that. Elevate the fastball. Pitch in more. You know, you got to pitch a little backwards now. It's the theme a little bit with fastballs. And this team, the Yankees, they're getting healthy and they got a little attitude. They were getting pushed around a little bit. People were picking on the Yankees, which is odd. And I think they got tired of it. Now you're going to have to go out and make good pitches. You're going to have to get after people. And how does he do that? That's why I asked Shai that. What does he have to do? It's just not say, okay, we're going to let you just run you out there because we know you throw 1,000 pitches. That's not good enough. Do you have enough good pitches that you can get good hitters out? You know Voit hammered, like hits over 400 on the first pitch. Can you throw a quality pitch 0-0 to get ahead of him? Let's see it. That stuff. Put your money where your mouth is. You came out and yelling and screaming, I'm old school. I throw a ton of pitches. Okay. They need you to go at least 5+. Let's see it.
All right.
There you go.
All right. So if Ken Giles is going to sit 94, 95, 93, 94, 95.
He'll give it up like he did. He's given up 2 home runs since he's been back. That's not playing. Yeah, that would mean you have to throw like 70% slider. Can't do that.
Now,
it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I was going to say, he threw a slider a lot last year, did he not?
Yeah, but not. He had 99 in the tank.
All right.
That's why the slider's good. That's why he can throw it.
Yeah,
He can throw it like 50-50. You can throw that slider that much because you have 99 in the tank, and they know it, and they got to respect it. 94, they see that all the time. It's like a break.
Mm-hmm.
94, I mean, he's trying to elevate it. You can see he doesn't have it for whatever reason, whether it's he hasn't pitched, whatever that reason is. And you can tell he's trying to go a little off the plate or a little up to get people out, and he's trying to spin it. Then now when do you use him? Do you feel comfortable giving the ball in the eighth inning with one run lead? Or do you give it to somebody else?
Tyler from London wants to know, and this is further to the discussion about Kirk, Alejandro Kirk, and going down to one knee. We talked to Ken Huckabee about that. And Joe Siddle did a really good job of breaking it down yesterday on Blue Jay Central. If you get a chance, check it out, because he kind of walked through the benefits and the minuses of going down to one knee. And the question is, Kirk athletic enough to go down to one knee with runners on? And I think that's part of the reason you do that, is to make it easier for a guy. Like, it's not, I don't think you're saying he's less of an athlete than another guy, but when you do that, it's what did Ken Huckabee say? It's to eliminate the decision-making process.
Every guy's different. Right? He's comfortable doing it. You know, you want him to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. He's a young kid. He's trying to make his way here. He's trying to fit in. Trying not to be seen. Not being seen means, you know, you make mistakes.
Hmm.
If you have to do it when you're comfortable. And if that makes him comfortable, I got no issues with that. You know, but this is a get it done league. This is not the try league.
Who said that?
That's, you know, he looks like he's a big target. He looks like he follows the plan. You know, last night, Yamaguchi didn't have it. You know, the velo wasn't there. The split finger wasn't there.
Were you concerned about Anthony Kay last night, too?
Anthony Kay.
Does he look like he might be?
Anthony Kay, for me, is starting to work himself into having to go back down to AAA and prove himself all over again.
Okay.
That's what he's working himself out of. It is. You know, the third pitch thing against lefty, is the curveball good enough? And if he doesn't sit 95, is the 93 good enough left-handed? It doesn't look that way.
Yeah.
Hitters seem to take that like it's, like they don't have to get it geared up to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that, you know, he needs to work on some secondary pitches. He needs to command that a little bit better, and he needs to use them all the time. And if he can't do that, like out of the bullpen next year, 162-game season, where are you using him?
Yeah.
If the starter doesn't go long enough, that's when you're using him. He's bridging the gap to leverage guys. I don't know if that's worthy of a spot in the bullpen
in a
162-game season. So,
I think Anthony Kay is a guy that I want to see stretch. I want to see him start. I think I'm okay with Barucki in the bullpen. I'm okay with Barucki staying in the bullpen. I think Kay to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but Kay to me, out of those three guys, Hatch, Kay, and Barucki, Kay to me is the guy I want to see stretched out in the starter.
I like Hatch too. I think he can maintain the velo, and I think the changeup plays.
as a starter.
You think I do. I think it does. But, you know, the high leverage thing, again, it's all about who they got starters already.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and what's, you know, the hybrid is a big deal now. They teams like that. It's cheaper. How do you think Rays win all the time?
Yeah.
And don't have to spend any money doing it.
Right.
They got all these hybrid guys that can pitch 1 through 9. I'm not giving you a role. You're pitching when I call down there and tell you to pitch. That's well, that's what the Blue Jays are trying to do.
And the thing is, you know, the beauty thing for the Marlins is the hardest thing to do in arbitration
the Rays, the Marlins, a good team too, though.
Yeah. The hardest thing to do in arbitration is try to find value for that type of guy. You can find value for closer because arbitration's a lot of old school.
A lot of that
stats.
Is too. You either do it here or you could go down to the minor leagues and start.
See, up to you. I think that, you know, the guy that I've been intrigued with since the Rays started using him that way is Ryan Yarbrough. To me, everybody's trying to find a Ryan Yarbrough.
Yeah, the Blue Jays, Merriweather is a guy for me. You know,
yes.
What do you do with 99? Do you start him or do you leave him where he's at and he can rove?
That's what
serious.
Would you do?
Well, the changeup's 19 miles an hour difference from his fastball. Like me, I don't think he has 4 pitches. If you're asking me today, I say leave him where he's at. Let him rove around, you know, and if he can show you in 162 game season, he can stay healthy and you want to stretch him out the season after the off season after that, try that. But I like 99 high leverage. I think he can do it with 2 pitches. He didn't need a wrinkle. You got 18 mile an hour difference between 2 pitches.
I know. That's
playing.
That is. That's
and
playing
you're, and
at
you're
any 6'7", time.
6'7", and you have leverage off the mound and where you're releasing the ball from.
He looks to me as if he's a very uncomfortable at bat.
Yeah.
Because of that.
99.
Yeah. Barker, that was good today. Thank you.
Well, you know, hopefully that guy doesn't play right again and you have to come in and throw things at me and.
No, he's good. He's definitely. Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, we will see Derek Fisher in right field during the playoffs at some point.
In the playoffs.
Yeah. Further to that, he will hit a home. I'm going to say he's going to have a big hit for the Jays at some point in the next 2 days because that's generally the way this stuff works, right?
That's usually right.
You rant about a guy and he goes out and has a great night, and then you come in the next day and take credit for it. I'm not beyond that. Writer's block is next. We'll talk a little Kawhi Leonard. Come on. You know you loved seeing that last night. I sure did. Wonder what Uncle Dennis is doing these days. Writer's Block is next on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.